Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today, we're talking about why your commute is killing you. Yeah, Matt, today on the show, we're going to talk about the problem with commuting, why it's so bad, and then we're going to provide some answers for how people can get some relief and hopefully figure out ways to commute less and then how to take action so that they aren't in their cars as much.
I thought you loved commuting though, man.
Oh, it's my favorite. Well, now that I'm commuting by bike mostly, had another great ride today.
Yeah.
To and from work. It was lovely.
I feel like you guys are about ready to switch it to one car.
You know, I have been giving it some more thought, and I think we're getting closer for sure. Mm-hmm. Although a bunch of episodes ago, we talked about this app called Rappify, right? Wrapping your car with an app. And you thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was like episode two or three or something like that.
Maybe. And so they started a new campaign in our area, and I'm getting my leaf wrapped on Thursday, dog.
Are you really?
Yeah. Going to make myself like $50 a week. That's $200 a month.
Yeah, that's $200, but what is it? I mean, what's going to be on your car? I think you're...
Salesforce. I don't really know what they do, and I don't really care.
Wait, that's who Parker works for.
Way to go, Parker. Right? You just got on my vehicle.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, hey. I will say that's much better than a Lifetime daytime TV show or...
I kind of want something less businessy and more goofy. I was kind of hoping the Honey Boo Boo thing would work out, but because
Salesforce is going to seem a little too like legit, like you actually work for Salesforce.
Yeah, and people are going to be like, oh, well, how's it working for Salesforce? I'm like, I don't know. This is just
asking the wrong guy.
Exactly.
I'm just in it for the buck.
The Honey Boo Boo thing, though, and if you didn't hear that episode, the potential campaign that I was going to participate in and get my car wrapped for was a new Honey Boo Boo show or Honey Boo Boo's mom show or something like that. And I thought that was going to be hilarious. And my neighbors would probably
Honey Boo Boo's mom's sister wants in on the action.
Right. Yeah. She wants her own show now too. And I just thought that would be really funny. But sadly, it didn't work out. Not quite in time. But this one is working out.
Like, legit on Thursday.
Getting wrapped on Thursday.
What's Emily saying?
Oh, she don't care.
She don't care?
No.
All right. Kate would care.
Well, you guys have one car and she drives that. And so this is the car that I might drive it just a little bit, even just up and down the street, because you have to rack up like 10 miles a day in order to
get the requirement,
the full bounty or whatever.
Oh man, you drink anything this past week?
I totally broke something out of the cellar, which I don't do all that often, and I've got this, like, I call it a cellar. I got like 12 beers in my pantry that I age. So, but I do like to, I think like we talked about recently, I like to age some beers over time, and I pulled out one of my Lagunitas High Westifieds.
Oh, whoa, High Westifies. That goes way back.
Yeah, it's so good. It's a coffee stout aged in whiskey barrels, rye whiskey barrels, and it was delicious, aging perfectly. So
nice.
Yeah, so if anybody out there, I think we've mentioned this before, if you have some sour beers or that are aged, or if you have, you know, bourbon barrel aged stouts or porters or something like that, those beers are often great to hang on to for a couple of years, and the flavor changes over time. So it's always fun to go back to something like that.
Do not age an IPA or a pale ale.
No.
Drink those fresh.
Those taste terrible with a few months on them, so.
Yeah, I asked what you had, man, because I just had my first Athena.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's such a good beer.
After having that French Imperial Berliner Weiss, I was like, you know what? It's officially Berliner Weiss season, man. And so, yeah, having that Athena, it's such a good summer light drinking beer. Not like light in body, but it's got that acidity. It's got that sour, that tartness, that wheat finish.
And it's one of those perfect beach beers too.
Yes.
So we're going to have to bring some of that to the beach anything that's like under 5% and light and refreshing and tart like that. I mean, I just love that. It's the perfect thing to drink, feet in the sand, you know, waves crashing up on the shore and
perfect thing after a bike ride.
Yeah. Let's move on to the beer we're drinking today. And we went from an awesome major brewery last week, Allagash, to a brewery that I guarantee you, probably nobody listening to this podcast has ever heard of, because we're
drinking, going ultra hip, guys.
We're drinking something from, it's like listening to bands that you've never heard of yet.
You know? You're like, oh yeah, I totally have heard of them. I just made that name up.
We're drinking something from, my friend John is a home brewer, and there are a lot of good home brewers out there, but there's also a lot of bad home brewers out there, right? Yeah. And so if I say home brewer, you might be like, oh, it's probably going to taste like crap. But no. John...
He's legit, man.
He might be one of the best brewers in the state.
Yeah. He just doesn't produce it for public consumption.
That's right. So he bottles a few things, and I was fortunate to get one of these. And so Matt and I are drinking tonight.
It is so good.
John's beer, and his brewery is called Little Cottage Brewery. And the beer is called A Splinter in the Mind. And I'm really excited about this, Matt, because literally, if you asked me what my favorite style of beer was, it would be a Flanders Red.
Flanders Red, man. This is the best. I'm with you, man. This has got it all. Like Flanders Red, it's got like the sour sort of tart aspect of it, right?
Yep.
You like that? You like that side of it?
I love that side of it. But then I love the vinegary side. It's got this distinct vinegary kind of taste. And so I'm really excited to get his take on it and see what this tastes like. It's
Almost like a shrub. I don't know if any of you guys out there have had like a, like that cocktail. Like, have you ever had shrubs?
I don't eat shrubs, man. That's weird.
It's like, I mean, it's a very, it's a high, a highly acidic sort of cocktail that you kind of age and you muddle and you, you know, you add gin to it.
It's making me think about Monty Python. Another shrubbery. Is that what we're talking about?
Similar. Yeah. Just okay. Like that.
All right.
But yeah, it's a similar acidity level, which is, yeah, something I'm drawn to. But then on top of that, the other aspect of it, man, is then they take them and they age them either on wood or in barrels. And then that just gives it another round of amazing flavor.
Yeah. And so this one in particular is aged 15 months in a rye whiskey barrel. And then another 2 months on tart cherries.
Oh my gosh.
It just sounds perfect.
I'm so juiced to have this thing, man. It's going to be so good.
So I'm pretty pumped. Let's pop it now. So the pop sound was a little weak on this because John did a wax the top of the bottle, which is kind of a cool look, but also sometimes makes it a pain in the ass to get to the beer.
Yeah, we each got one of these cute little bottles, man. They kind of look like mini bombers, you know? They're like they look like the big ones, but they're kind of like your own personal pan pizza.
Yeah, I think
Flanders Red style.
Right, yeah, these are I think the 375 milliliter bottles, which are really cool looking. When I stuck my nose in that glass,
oh my gosh, this smells so good.
The size of your cheeks just start watering because it's got that.
My mouth knows what's up. It's like, we're about to party.
Taste buds getting excited. So Flanders Red, known for the color too. Yeah, it's got a brownish red color hue to it.
Yeah, it's got that classic Flanders Red look to it.
And it's perfect.
Dude, how does he do it? So he's known for making, he makes amazing stouts. And has he ever made one of these before, as far as you know?
As far as I know, he hasn't. He's made some good sours, but
holy
like,
crap.
This is such a particularized style and really difficult to make.
I assume it's difficult. You just don't see a lot of people doing it. So you've got to assume that it's somewhat difficult.
And he like seriously nailed this.
Oh my gosh.
That's like a Barry Bonds home run or a Tiger Woods sunk putt or something like that. Like that's what this tastes like.
A little LeBron in a glass right here, man.
Exactly. It's unparalleled. Sorry if you don't know sports. Those are sports references.
I'm not so good at the sports. Starts off with that classic Flanders Red aggressiveness. But then immediately it switches to the cherries. You taste that fruit.
You totally get the cherries, which is so nice. Like the sweetness from the cherries and the whiskey barrel, I think, kind of keeps it all in check so that it's not too sweet or too vinegary or too tart. And it's like this
mellows it all out there and
perfectly balanced representation of the style.
Helps it to finish a little drier, like kind of having that wood there, I think.
Like I said, this is my favorite style. And I've had some really good representations of it and I've had some really bad ones. And this is like up there top two. It's so good.
This might be the best beer I've had all year. Like seriously, right now, 2018, best beer. You want to go ahead and say it? Because this is freaking amazing.
I'll say it. We've had some great beers on the podcast. Some great beers.
We have a ton of great beers.
Yeah. Pretty much every week we have a great beer.
Yeah, exactly.
And that doesn't fail. And this is probably the best one so far. So, John, you're the master.
Thank you, John. This is fantastic, man. Cheers. All right, man, let's talk about commuting. Why it's killing you.
Let's do it. Commuting is essentially the opposite of this beer that we're drinking.
Yeah. White knuckled hell. This is like.
This brings life. That brings death. So let's cover the problem first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ultimately, one of the major problems is that we sit too much in our culture.
Yeah, man.
And traditional commuting in your car is more.
By yourself.
Sitting, right?
Yeah, exactly. We touched on this recently too in an episode. I forget which one, but we're talking about how most folks, you sit in your car, you drive to work, you sit all day, you sit in a cubicle, and then you just repeat the whole thing over again. You come home, and then you are a lot of times sitting there watching TV or eating dinner,
like, sitting on our butts.
Yeah,
it's like it's not good for you, and we need to get off our butts more.
in the winter, man, like when I'm sitting in my home office there working, I can literally feel my body just like slow down
and rotting away.
Yeah. Like it's not able to keep warm. Like my body's not able to do the thing that it needs to do, which is like maintain its temperature. I have to get this huge down jacket because you just stop moving and the blood starts slowing down and it's just bad.
Yeah.
I hate it.
One scientist a few years back said sitting is the new smoking. And so he had done some research on what sitting does to your body. Yeah. And it, in our culture, with how sedentary we've become, like we said, you know, with commuting, sitting at work, sitting at home all the time, we're sitting. And essentially, it's so bad for us. It's that one researcher says that it's like smoking, that it's that bad for you.
Yeah.
And so it's something that we should be concerned about. Estimates say that we sit for half of our waking hours. And
dude, I would even say more than that. I mean, literally, if you think about the amount of time that people work and the amount of time they spend in their car, like right there, I feel like that's over half. And it's not like they spend the rest of the day standing up.
And we're not talking about everyone here, but
yeah,
maybe, you know, most people that do sit down when they work, maybe they get up to go to the bathroom or to grab something off the printer, but probably 82% of their, you know, a stat I just made up, probably that much of the time is spent sitting in front of their computer.
Oh, you know that 82% rule.
Exactly. It's well documented.
Yeah, man, that's a huge problem. And another thing too is that, I mean, it's costing us money. So it's literally taking our health, and now it's also taking our money. You take into account what your hourly wage is, but then you actually, if you take into account the amount of time you spend in the car getting there, I mean, you divide that out and you're actually earning, you know, a good bit less than you actually think you're making.
So if you're making $25 an hour, but you're commuting 45 minutes each way and sitting in traffic and car costs and fuel and all these other things added in, you should actually do the math and see what your real hourly wage is. It turns out that you're probably making substantially less than you thought you were with all of the costs that are associated with going to work and commuting in a big steel box. And so it's really important to factor the costs of your commute and car ownership and how much time you're wasting into that hourly wage to kind of get a realistic picture of what you're actually earning from your job.
Yeah, we recently talked about the legit way to own a car. So on top of all this, like Joel said, if you are financing, say, a brand new car, not only is this killing you, but it's actually costing you way more money than you even realize.
I think on top of the fact that we're sitting too much and that's killing us, and that we're actually not making as much money as we think because we're spending a lot of time in the car as opposed to time in the office actually making the money, right? We're spending money on fuel costs and on the actual car that gets us there and the time it takes to get to work that we're not actually getting paid. So those are a lot of costs that have to be factored in. But on top of that, I mean, how awful is traffic, right?
Yeah man. I mean, like the stress
of sitting in traffic, like what it does to you psychologically.
Oh, it doesn't get the endorphins flowing for you and you feel all jazzed once you get home and you get all loose and you're like, ah,
it's just
that's
like
right, nothing.
Just like a night out with my lady sitting in traffic, you know?
Can't beat a drive home in Atlanta traffic. Certainly where you live, maybe it's not quite as bad as we have it here, but still, I guarantee nobody really enjoys driving to and from work. Is it time to talk about the solutions then?
Yeah, there are a lot of solutions that are out there for people who are taking their car to work. And so I think too, you probably know some of these basic things, right? You know that, you know, we're going to say bike to work, and you might say, well, that doesn't work for me, but we're going to offer a bunch of different solutions. And hopefully there's something that you can implement in some way, form or fashion to commute less frequently or to commute in a different way or to change the schedule that you have at work. We're going to come up with a lot of options here for you to consider so that your commuting is less bad and hopefully costing you less money.
Yeah, man, like you said, these aren't things that are revolutionary, right? Like the actual things that we're going to suggest. So what we're talking about are the alternatives to traditional commuting. So either carpooling, public transit, biking, even walking, but even working from home as well. Like these aren't things that, say, you've never heard of. But what we're going to do is specifically to talk about why that they're good, not only for you, obviously, but as well for like your employer and even your city and the environment as well.
Yeah, and also how you can actually implement some of these things in your life. And we're not going to be able to speak to every circumstance, right?
Yeah.
You
know,
if you are calling on accounts across town, chances are that, I mean, that's not even a commute. That's just what you do, right?
Yeah.
And so that's really hard to cut down on. You're a UPS driver and...
Yeah, that's your life.
The truck's got to get around town to drop off the packages. There's not much you can change. You can listen to this podcast on repeat and that's going to help at least, but there's only certain professions that can actually be helped by this. But I think there's a lot of people and there's a lot of practical takeaways for almost everybody in this.
Yeah, Joe, so first let's talk about the benefit to employees. So you as workers, I mean, it should be obvious and goes without saying that employees want to have options to be able to either work from home or at least hopefully to have some sort of incentive, like, you know, it's like some sort of carrot dangled in front of them to sort of challenge them to think, oh man, what are some other ways that I could get to work, you know, while maybe saving money, while enjoying myself more and not being nearly as stressed out as I normally am.
So if you are able to work from home, you should take advantage of that and consider asking if you can work from home more than you're currently allowed to do. It's less stress in your life. If you don't have to fight traffic, it's less cost, less wear and tear on your car. And the other cool thing is that sometimes you're more productive when you're working from home, right?
Yeah, man, there's just so much time that you can essentially reclaim and kind of put towards productivity. It gives you a little more time to be flexible, maybe say during the day. But basically, yeah, it allows you just to get more stuff done in a shorter amount of time.
Yeah. And like Matt, for you, when you were able to start working from home, you know, your makeup time got cut in half. Like you didn't have to look beautiful for all the people at the office. Like you stopped, you know, you started wearing t-shirts as opposed to these like three-piece suits and stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
And that you had like the pocket watch and
The sock garters take a long time to put on.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's another great benefit of working from home is you can just keep your PJs on, right? Make a quick breakfast and sit down and get to work. There's fewer meetings that you have to attend, fewer interruptions. And granted, I'll tell you, I enjoy working in an office. I enjoy working with people, but it's really nice to work from home. Sometimes I do feel more productive when I am at home working alone and don't have the constant interruption of working in a workplace surrounded by other people.
Yeah, and surrounded by just like those constant meetings that you kind of get scheduled for where you're just like, I don't need to be in this meeting, but I'm on the list and I was sent the invite and I'm supposed to be here, I think, but I just don't need to be here. I just remember those from 10 years ago back when I used to work in an agency and I hated those, dude. Like
I've been there, done that.
Oh my gosh.
Probably yesterday.
That's just the kind of thing that just drives me crazy. You know, like when you're just staring inefficiency in the face and you're just like, I just want to shoot myself right now.
And
not the worst.
Not all meetings are bad, but you know, and sometimes it's just an impromptu visit from a coworker and those are fun, but there are days where it's nice to feel like you're uber productive. And I know the days that I feel like that are usually either on Fridays when everyone else is working from home and I'm in the office, or when I'm working from home, I feel like that. So I enjoy having the interaction with my coworkers, but those days are really nice to have.
Yeah, man, another point, another benefit to alternatives to traditional commuting. I mean, we already touched on this, but you just save a lot of money. You just take into account how much money you put towards gas, towards your car upkeep, you know, if you're driving in solo. And that's just a lot of your monthly budget that you're not going to have to put towards transportation. And not only that, you're going to see your vehicle just last you longer. The value is going to kind of maintain and you're not going to see it depreciate nearly as much as if you're driving it every day, 45 minutes to and from work.
Yeah, completely. If you're able to take a few thousand miles off your car every year, you know, that might be one fewer oil change.
And easily. And especially city driving too, man. That's like the worst versus just like hopping on the interstate, you know?
And that's less gas that you got to use. And that's
less brakes, less everything.
Maybe cheaper insurance that you can get. If you can get under a certain mile cap from your insurer, you might be able to save, you know, $100 or $150 every year by driving less. Yeah, so there are all these costs that you're not factoring in that go into your commute into work every day. So it's really important to sit down, put those things on paper to at least know what you're spending so that you can know what to ask of your employer when you're looking at alternative commute options.
So another benefit, and this is specific to working from home, but just being able to work from home and have that flexibility to kind of do some personal stuff. And I know this kind of sounds counterintuitive to like the productivity one, but occasionally, instead of taking, say, a half day off at work just because you have to take time to get to somewhere and then pick somebody up and all that, if you're already at home, you're still able to get a lot done. But then if you have a little bit of flexibility to say, go do something that you need to do, or like with us with having rental properties, it's nice to be able to have a little bit of time to kind of jump out and go check something out, meet a contractor over at a house. Having flexibility is key.
Yeah, and if you cut the hour and a half commute, the time there, the time home, if you're able to cut that commute out once or twice a week, and then you can, you know, hop into see your dentist, and that's a quick hour appointment, but you made it up because you're not commuting. It's things like that that are really nice. Or, you know, flex days where let's say you're able to work a little bit longer another day of the week while you're in the office, it might help you avoid traffic too, and then give you more flex the next day to work a little bit less, so you can factor in a doctor's appointment and not have to take a full day off of work.
Yeah.
So if an employer can be flexible, if you can work with your employer to add some flexibility to your work schedule, that can really benefit both of you.
Yeah, it's huge, man. I don't know how many... We're at the age now where we've got friends with kids, and the kid stuff and school stuff is just a... It's becoming a thing, you know? Like, our schedules, we're starting to plan our years around, like, the school schedule, which is kind of crazy. But more and more, we hear parents talking about, like, how those flex days are so clutch. Being able to kick off a little bit early in order to go pick somebody up or go to an event, go to a parent-teacher conference. I don't know. Like, all these things that we're about to learn firsthand.
Yeah. And so we should talk about too, like, the employer and how the employers can work on answering this question. And if you are not an employer, you're just an employee listening, I think this is an important section for you too, because it kind of helps you to know how to approach your employer when it comes to asking some of these questions and trying to increase some of the flexibility that's in your schedule so that you can cut your commute time and your commute costs.
Yeah, this is your ammo, right? Because if your employer doesn't really see how this is going to affect their bottom line, they're not necessarily going to be for it. They're going to think, oh, this is just some sort of gimmick. You know, this is what all the kids are asking for these days. Maybe we'll do it, maybe not.
This is a ploy for Jimmy to knock off early and go play some disc golf or something like that.
By Jimmy, you mean Joel.
Yes, I mean myself.
You can't just create an avatar for yourself and only change the last three letters of your name, dude. He has like all the same hobbies that you do. But Jimmy wants to go to this.
Jimmy wants to play some nerdy board games tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's important for them to realize how it's going to affect their business, right? And if you work for a smart, successful employer, that's what they're going to want to see. They want to see how that's going to affect the bottom line, the bottom dollar.
Yeah, I think ultimately workers appreciate flexibility and being treated like adults. And one of the biggest things that does for you as an employer to treat your employees as adults, like they know how to make their own decisions. And part of that comes down to the hiring process, right? Making sure you know the people that you're hiring and you trust them to do a good job. You trust them not to take advantage of the rules. But if you do treat your employees with that sort of care and intention, it'll breed loyalty. And what's one of the highest costs for employers? It's finding new talent and then training that talent and getting them assimilated into the workplace. It's so much better to keep good talent that you have in your workforce. And if they feel like they have that autonomy and that ability to create a flexible schedule and work hard for 40 hours a week that they're tasked to do, but have the freedom to knock off early or start work early the next day if they had to leave early for a doctor's appointment or to see their kids' soccer practice, that creates this amazing loyalty that keeps people in the company. You create a culture where people want to stick around.
Yeah, man, not only that, but having that autonomy, like you said, it kind of gives an employee like ownership of the work. And so not only are they just doing what they're being told to do, but they kind of feel like they're invested, you know, like this is like their company. This is part of who they are. It starts to, like you said, like that culture, it starts to kind of seep into everything. And if it's good culture that you want it to seep into everything, it affects everything. And if it affects the work, the quality of the work and the creativity, you can't beat it.
Yeah, that sort of mentality towards your employees says you're not just a worker bee. You're a part of what makes this company work.
Yeah, you're part of the team.
Yep. And that has such an effect on what you're going to get out of people. The mindset that they come into work with. Not that I have these tasks I need to accomplish, but I have this business and this brand and this culture that I want to be a part of and I want to build. And so as an employer, you're really, really smart to think of your employees in this manner and treat your employees like adults to breed that loyalty.
I mean, really, it's kind of self-serving. You know, if you think about it, like we're saying that these are things that are good for the employer, but like, yeah, do these things for your employees because it's going to benefit you. Like these things, like it all comes back to the employer. So, and another solid sort of tangible way that this saves and benefits employers too is just space. There's less of a need for obviously cars, right? If you've got folks that are carpooling or taking alternative means, whether it be public transit, biking, walking, you don't need to pay for that extra two levels of the parking deck because your employees don't need it.
And maybe some of your employees are riding a Segway. I wouldn't recommend that, but I wouldn't incentivize that. I'm just kidding. But I see more people on these like the Bird scooters and the Segways, and it's fine, but not my preferred method of transportation.
It's more for fun. It's like you want to go on a tour of the city? Sure. Yeah. It's
strap good on that, your helmet. Sure. Hop on a Segway. Why not? But yeah, so actually I have a personal example here of when it comes to fewer parking spaces. So a couple of days of the week, there have been more people working in the building that I work in, and the parking garage gets full. And so my...
Oh no.
I know, right? And so my company is considering adding on to the parking deck, like building more.
Oh my gosh.
And that just sounds like a really big expense.
Sounds really stupid.
And I am literally the only person in my building that rides a bike to work. And that's fine, but I notice it that I'm literally the only bike in the parking lot. But I know that there are more people that live close by that would consider carpooling. And yeah. I've said before on the show, I carpool with my coworker sometimes, but mostly I bike. And so if my employer would offer an incentive, instead of adding space to this parking garage, which is expensive, it's a lot of concrete, right? It's this big time thing, creating small incentives for employees to bike or to carpool to work, I think would be so much better for not only their bottom line, but the company culture as a whole. And I just think that there are better solutions to the problem that we're facing at our building in particular, and buildings around the country where workforces are fully staffed right now, than adding more space or building more on a parking deck.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to think that there's a more elegant solution, right? Like hearing that makes me think of like the whole problem of like traffic. And so what do you do? Oh, you just make the interstate wider.
Let's build more roads.
Oh, we need wider lanes. Let's take it from a 14 lane to a 16 lane.
That'll do it.
Yeah, certainly that'll allow there to be more space. No, it's a dumb solution. And I think it's just such a nearsighted thought process. You know, like let's take these drastic steps to create this structure. And it's a major undertaking. It's going to cost, yeah, like you said, a lot of money. And it's just, yeah, not a great solution. And not even just parking too, but I mean, we've barely talked about actual office space. If you have all of your employees, they're under the same roof. Certainly there's times when that's called for and you need to get together as a team, brainstorm, whatever. But yeah, if you rarely have all of your employees together like that, think about how many fewer offices you would actually need to have leased in order to house your staff.
Yeah, I mean, think about it logically. Using a space from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and that's the only time, but everyone's in at the same time, it's just an inefficient use of space.
Yeah.
And so you could do it better by creating alternating schedules, by allowing people to work from home on certain days and alternating those things so that people are all together sometimes, but that for the majority of the time, people have flex work schedules. And again, I know this isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. This doesn't work for UPS drivers, like we said, or doctors or nurses or certain other things. I mean, we'll talk about some steps that hopefully even doctors and nurses can take that they can do on their own. And I know that this doesn't necessarily work for all employers, but you know what? In our economy, with the kind of communication that we can have between each other with email, texting, phone calling, Slack, there's
Slack.
Yeah, there's all these ways to communicate. We don't have to all be in the building at once. There's video chat. I mean, it's amazing. Technology allows us, especially for doing things like this, it can really cut down on the cost for employers.
You know another way that employers can cut down costs?
No, tell me.
Healthcare.
So true.
So it's more of a traditional thing, right? The healthcare model that we have in the States where the employer pays for it. But regardless, it's widespread and it's the model. It's how it currently is. And bottom line, if you have healthier employees, right? If you have employees that are biking and walking, they're more physically fit. If you have employees who are either carpooling or taking public transit and even working from home, they're less stressed because they're not dealing with the traffic, the rush to make sure they're there on time, feeling like they're battling the other guy in the giant SUV one lane over. Too often stress sort of gets discounted, you know? Like it's a real health issue. Like it's something that affects people. It affects their health. It affects how their bodies function. And if you're able to allow your employees to take care of their bodies mentally, but and physically, you're certainly going to see a decrease in the expenses that go towards healthcare.
And you'll see your employees taking fewer sick days. So that's such an added benefit as well. Your workers will show up to work if they bike or walk or something like that, a little more jazzed.
Yeah, they're not going to drag in because they just came in on their bike. They're going to be totally pumped.
Yeah, that's one of the major benefits I've noticed when I started biking in was that when I get to work, I was in gear, man. Yeah, I was ready, you know? Awesome.
You're not like dragging in like, oh, Mondays, am I right?
Let me get that cup of coffee and then I'll sit down and start typing an email.
No, you sit down, you drink like a liter of water and then you're like, let's do this.
I feel like I just drank a can of Surge or something like that, you know? I'm ready to go. And so I noticed the days I bike in, I'm better. I'm better me. I'm a better employee. And
better
so,
Jimmy.
Exactly. So yeah, it's the fewer sick days and it's the increased energy level when you're at work. And on top of that, it's that building culture and loyalty. There's all these amazing perks for employers if they will only incentivize their employees and kind of create buy-in on that level. I see a lot of benefits for companies that are willing to think outside the box and offer incentives to people to commute alternatively.
Yeah, man, I like how you said culture again too, because like if I had a company with like a bunch of employees, like that's the kind of culture that I would be so excited to try to create. I want to have a company where the culture of the employees, it is about biking and like how fast they got there on their bike and how fit they are versus like the car culture of like, oh yeah, just got the latest so-and-so late model truck. But you know what? You got to get it for the boat because you've also got that boat payment and your truck payment. And
don't worry, I'll have it paid off in 8 years unless I trade it in before then.
And it almost sounds like hip, right? To say, oh yeah, of course, Matt and Joel, they're talking about bike culture and how cool that is. Well, like, it's not that it's just cooler. It's legitimately better. If you want to be healthier and less stressed, I feel like I can objectively say that it is better. It's not like hip or cool. It's something that you will legitimately see a difference in your life and those around you that you interact with when you're making decisions that are not only benefiting yourself, but also the company that you work for.
Yeah, and just an example of talking about culture, our nation's culture and how we approach this stuff. Our nation as a whole, like, we don't care about this stuff.
Yes.
And it's such a bummer. And we want to change that trend. Let's do something about this, Matt, because it's ridiculous. And one example of that is the bicycle commuter benefit. It was a tax incentive that in this most recent legislation was cut by the Senate. And so there used to be employers were allowed to offer a tax incentive to their employees for commuting to work. And it wasn't all that much. I'm pretty sure it was like $20 a month.
No, yeah, it was small.
But it was to cover, you know, a flat tire or a tune-up or whatever you needed to do to your bike to kind of keep it in shape. And I will say this, my employer didn't even offer it when it was available, which, not cool.
Burn.
Yeah, take that. but cut by the Senate, and that just goes to show that our culture as a whole doesn't care about alternative commuting options and isn't invested in this. And so let's change that from the top down. Let's create a culture in general that says this matters, this is good for our bodies, and this is good for our lives.
Yeah, man. And not only is it good for those things too, it's good for like the cities that we live in. In general, if there are less individual cars on the road that are taking single individuals from home to work and then back again, the city as a whole is just going to be more livable. There's going to be less congestion. People are going to feel more comfortable walking on the sidewalks. And the city as a whole is just going to be a more comfortable and enjoyable place to live.
And I think when we're in our steel boxes on the road with other people in their steel boxes, it makes it easier to see each other as not human, right?
And oh, yeah.
We'll flip the bird or ride somebody's tail, whatever it takes. But it makes it a really unpleasant way to live. If you're on your bike or your feet and you see people that you're passing or you have a close encounter, you're way more likely to respond kindly than you are in a steel box. There's something that just cars pit each other against each other.
Yeah, man. It just dehumanizes everybody.
Yeah, man. And another perk is it helps local businesses when employees are working at a coffee shop or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And so you save money on commuting costs, but then guess what? Walk down to your local coffee shop and enjoy a cafe au lait or a latte or something like that, right? And
sounds like you must have recently been to France.
I love getting a coffee at a coffee shop. I rarely do it, but man, I tell you what, I had a couple of morning meetings last week at coffee shop, and that coffee shop culture is so fun. It's so great.
Yeah, man, I love it.
To drop $3 and then get to work from there that day was an absolute pleasure. And so I think, you know, a lot of personal finance people would say, cut the latte habit. And while if that's something that you're spending too much money on, maybe
maybe that's okay advice.
Yeah, but if you're cutting out car commuting to work at your coffee shop with the free Wi-Fi and a $3 coffee, that's awesome. I think that's great. And another thing, walking and biking means more small business visits and more meeting your neighbors. Like we said, you're out of the steel box where humans are pitted against each other, reacting poorly, and you're interacting with the people around you. It's just such a more wonderful experience.
Yeah. I mean, you imagine you have a 45-minute commute, right? So an hour and a half, say a day, that you literally get to do nothing that really adds value to your life, maybe except for listen to awesome podcasts.
subscribe.
But just imagine during the middle of the day, you're sitting there working and, you know, you get out, go for a 30-minute walk or something like that. Stretch out your legs, get the blood flowing, say hey to any neighbors. Yeah, Joe, it's totally good for the neighborhood. And it helps too when you're working from home, just little petty crimes. You know, we live in the city and there's just, you know, like the Amazon package kind of getting grabbed, like that sort of thing is kind of happening more and more. When half your block works from home and all the home offices are in the front of the house and you're looking out on the street like half of our block is, those guys don't really get away with that kind of stuff. You're able to keep an eye out and you've got each other's back.
Yeah, and ultimately, it's better for our environment as a whole. Cities that are built more around bikes and walking paths and usually...
public transit as well?
Yeah, usually have more green space. And yeah, we haven't really talked about public transit, but that's another great way. Although that can be grueling too. At least you're able to read a book or do something productive and thoughtful while you're on your commute.
Oh, yeah.
It's still good. It's just a different kind of good. But alternative commute options are good for your environment. Taking a car off the road here and there. And the more we do that, you know, it's less pollution in our cities. It's less clogging of the freeways. It incentivizes more walking paths and green spaces in our cities.
Yeah, and for people to want to come and visit, you know, again, and then what are you doing? You're bringing in tourism. Like if all of a sudden your city is fostering this sort of environment, this sort of growth, well, it's better for the local businesses and it's better for like tourism. Folks are coming in and ultimately that's kind of good for you. Like how fun is it to have a place where you live and that you're proud of where people are coming to visit because they say, oh, this is such a nice place.
So I guess the question is, when are we creating Matt Joltopia?
Yeah. I think that might be what people are saying right now. But, so yeah, we've talked through the benefits.
I guess we could do it on SimCity.
Oh, did you play SimCity back in the day?
Of course.
Oh man. Yeah, SimCity was awesome. Man, we had this off-brand version as well called A-Train.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, anybody out there ever heard of A-Train? Hit me up. It was sort of like SimCity, but less options. It was sort of focused only on train. It's for like the train nerds, I think, but SimCity was the bomb. It was awesome.
It was good.
Yeah, so a lot of this might seem sort of far-reaching, right? You might think, oh, well, yeah, this is great to say and talk about, but how do you actually take the steps necessary in order to make this a reality? And that's what we want to focus on next.
Yeah, maybe you can't bend the iron will of your employer, but there are things that you can do in practicality to make changes in your life. And let's first talk about what employers should do. I think they should incentivize these things. And things they might need to do is offer a safe storage place for bikes. And maybe some showers would be nice for people.
Yeah, that'd be really nice.
Yeah, right. Taking a long commute and you know want to freshen up before work. That'd be a great thing to offer.
That being said, though, don't worry if you are a little bit sweaty. I feel like too much emphasis is placed on like everything being perfect. You know, obviously, if you've got a sales job and you're constantly meeting with clients, yeah, you may not want to bike into work that day. But yeah, if you biked into work that day, get a little sweaty, keep some deodorant at work, maybe like another extra t-shirt or something like that. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I was talking to a lady at the park the other day and she and her husband both bike into work and they're both lawyers. And so, I mean,
nice.
If you think you can't do this, like, I feel like that's an excuse, right?
Yeah.
And you can do this. So
who are those people? That makes me so happy, man. Like those are the people we need to meet and help spread the gospel of biking in, even if you have a fancy job.
Another thing that employers can do is to offer a small amount of extra pay dedicated towards bike expenses. And so it's not this huge raise that you have to give your employees, but just that small amount of money in every paycheck, $10, $15, $20 towards bike expenses, towards tires and towards those tune-ups like we talked about, that incentivizes employees to make it happen. That will cut your costs in the long run as an employer, and it will create that culture that you're looking for.
Yeah, and a lot of companies do sometimes offer that incentive, and then not necessarily if you biked into work, but it's just as long as you didn't drive to work. And so I was actually talking to my buddy Tyler, and he works for a well-known company called MailChimp. But I thought to myself, I know that MailChimp's offering some sort of incentive because that's just the kind of company they are. They do awesome stuff like that. And I checked in with him, and sure enough, he was getting $90 a month for not driving into work.
That's amazing.
Isn't that awesome? And so you can take that and you can put it towards running shoes if you're running in every morning or bike maintenance or public transit if you need to put some of that money towards a leg of your trip where you need to take the bus.
So I love that. And maybe
I thought that was awesome, man. That's a chunk of money, you know? Like you wouldn't have to rapify your car if you worked for a company that was offering a pretty sweet incentive, right?
That's true.
I'm excited to see your car wrapped up.
It's going to look good. So, yeah, I think that's a really cool thing for employers. And you know what? Just maybe incentivize your employees to take alternative commuting options 50% of the time. Even that would cut down on a lot of expenses for you as an employer and would incentivize your employees to do something different, to get active and to at least look into doing something different with their commute.
Yeah, so those are steps that an employer could potentially actively do, right, to make things a little more attractive for their employees. The first thing you as an employee could do is just to ask to be able to work from home. That's something that may not necessarily be in place already. There may not be a program. But if there's not a program, I guarantee you're not the only one thinking that, like, oh man, this would be fantastic for our company.
And maybe you're the third person to ask your boss that week and you're the tipping point. And he or she is like, wow, that's, I guess a lot of people are into this and I didn't know. And so maybe you're the tipping point that tips the scales into the company pursuing letting people work from home more often.
Yeah, this is sort of a nod back to a couple episodes ago. We talked about asking for a discount, right? How it kind of works that muscle.
And that's an easy thing to ask for. You're not asking for a raise.
Yeah.
You're just asking for more flexibility. Yeah, this might seem ridiculous, but maybe it's time to look for a new job. If your employer is unwilling to bend, maybe you can find employment closer to where you are and with more flexible commute options. Especially, we're in a hot labor market right now. There are plenty of employers looking for skilled workers, and maybe it's a time for you to work closer to home. Then commuting becomes a whole lot easier.
Yeah, something else I thought of too, man. Just you talking about the hot labor market. Continually, the story right now is that there isn't wage growth. And so what another sweet way to be able to sort of entice in good talent, good employees with these extra benefits, because employers currently really aren't willing to increase wage rates. Why not offer these sweet incentives? You know, like give employees the flexibility, the options, or even incentivize a little bit here and there to be able to attract that talent, attract and keep those employees.
Aren't some of those things involve, right, your employer saying yes or no? But there are some things that you can do without having to consult your employer at all to change your commute.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first thing is just consider biking or walking to work or even taking public transit. These are things that you can literally start doing tomorrow morning, and it doesn't require, I mean, it requires some planning because you need to figure out your route, like how to get there, how do I bike there. You need to figure out what bus or what train to take. But these are things that do not require any permission from anybody. You can start doing it now, and it is the best way to cut down on costs. If you're not commuting every day by yourself in a car, you're foregoing all of these expenses that are associated with a car. And potentially, you could even consider maybe even going without a car. You know, how awesome would that be?
Yeah, I challenge you to time your commute. Use Google Maps and actually check out how long would it take if I walked? How long would it take if I biked? And there was an article recently in the New York Times that said people vastly overestimate how long it would take to walk or bike to work. And so you might say that would take me an hour and a half to bike to work, but it turns out it would only take you an hour. And well, how long is your commute taking you? 45, 50 minutes? At least do the math, at least do the research and figure out how long will biking or walking take you. You might find out it's not as bad as you thought. And in the end, you know what? You skip time going to the gym because
yes,
you're getting fit just on your commute.
Yeah, you're getting fit and saving money at the same time. Win-win.
And carpooling, that's another great option to consider. Talk to people in the office who might live close to you. If you don't know, maybe post something on the company Facebook page or message board.
Or your neighborhood community group online or something like that too. There might be, you may not be the same company, but you might be going to like the same part of town. And you know what? Getting from your neighborhood to say Midtown or downtown or something like that, maybe a lot easier than you realize when you're carpooling.
No doubt. So this could allow you to have one less car as a family if you alternate driving with your coworker, or maybe even if you're single, allow you to have no car at all if you pay for the gas for your rideshare mate. Yeah, so carpooling can allow you to cut your car costs, your insurance costs, your gas costs, and possibly even allow you to have one less car as a family.
Yeah, and at the very least, it just keeps you from having to sit behind the wheel. You know, say if you're alternating, like you could just, you know, at the very least not have to drive every single day. You can just swap, take it easy for half of the time.
And the last thing, a more drastic measure, can you find a job closer to where you live or maybe move closer to where you work? I think those are, you know, bigger things, but let's say your lease is up in 2 months, or you're just really getting fed up with the commute that you're currently in. There are changes that you can make, and they're bigger, harder changes to make, but that doesn't make them not feasible. So if you have a 25-mile commute each way right now, consider whether you can do one of those things, either finding a job that's closer to where you currently live or moving closer to where you currently work. If you can do that, it might even be worth an increased amount of rent or a slightly higher mortgage payment if it changes your lifestyle, adds more hours back into your life every day, and allows you to commute alternatively and cut down on your car costs. And you know what? Clear your head and get more fit at the same time by commuting via bike or walking or public transit.
Yeah, I'd be willing to pay a little bit more for something that wasn't literally killing me every day, right?
Yeah, so much of this is costing you money and is hurting your body, all the sitting that we're doing.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, it's cramping your lifestyle and it's sucking your time. and your time is so valuable. I just can't imagine commuting every day for that long of a period of time. And that's why I think one of the important things to do is to kind of write down how much this is actually costing you when it comes to your car, when it comes to your time. That might give you the kick in the pants you need to ask your employer for something or to even make a drastic change like moving or finding new employment.
All right, Joel, back to this lovely, delicious beer.
I got to tell you, I don't have much else to say. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah, it really is good. In a blind taste test, like if I put this next to some like $30 bombers from some of the best sour Flanders red guys out there today making them, I think this one would crush.
Yeah, man. No, I know.
It's so stinking good.
And we felt that way about a lot of the beers he's made. And he's made some of the best stouts I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
This is like his magnum opus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is like his love letter to my heart, I think. This beer right here.
It's actually the Splinter in My Mind. That's what it's called. So again, this is A Splinter in the Mind by Little Cottage Brewery. And it's an American sour. Specifically, though, it's his interpretation of a Flanders red.
And I will say, if you ever get your hands on this, which you won't, you'll never, ever get to taste this. But if you did, it's delicious and you should pick one up. But you never will get to try this beer because it's homebrew. Sorry. All right, Matt, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, Joel. So the solution to traditional car commuting to work are a number of things, but we're talking about biking. We're talking about walking, public transit, carpooling, and working from home. So it benefits employees because it's less stressful when you don't have to commute in every day, when you don't have to drive in every day to work, you're less stressed and you're happier.
Yeah, Matt, you know, I'm down with saving money and it lowers your transportation costs as well, which is huge.
Yeah, and having more of that personal flexibility, man, that is such a big selling point for millennials and for young families as well that have kids that need that flexibility.
Yeah, and you know what? Employers see a huge benefit too. First off, flexibility and incentives to commute alternatively attract better employees and create ultimately a better culture and more loyalty from the employees you currently have.
Yeah, and hiring and firing, that's such a huge cost associated with employees. Another way that employers are able to save in general when you've got alternative commuting options is you're going to be able to lower the healthcare costs that you spend on your employees.
Yeah, and there are other costs that you can lower as an employer as well, like money spent on parking spaces and workspace in general when you offer increased flexibility and commuting alternatives.
Yeah, Joe, so it benefits employees and benefits the employer. It also benefits your city as a whole. The less individual car traffic that there is, the more livable, the more wonderful your city is going to be. And ultimately, that's what we all want in the place that we live and work.
Yeah. So what do you do next? Well, you take action. You do something. The first thing you can do is to ask your boss, ask your employer if you can work from home. Maybe it starts off at one day a week, but that's at least a good place to start.
But if you don't have the option to work from home, consider some of the alternatives like walking or biking, public transit. And even if those may not work for you, at the very least, you can try carpooling.
Yeah. And ultimately, a lot of this comes down to creating a better lifestyle for yourself, not even just saving money. And hitting the nuclear option, like finding a job closer to where you live or moving closer to where you work, can be the ultimate best solution for fixing your commuting problems.
Yeah, man, because while it might seem like the nuclear option, right, it seems like such a huge thing to do. In reality, if you're reprioritizing your life and focusing on what's actually important, it might be a lot easier for you to shift things around.
Yeah, and it's way better than an hour and a half in a car every day, 5 days a week, just to get back and forth to work.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's a good word. Hopefully, you listeners were able to at least take one thing from this. There's a lot of options that we presented and a lot of benefits. And hopefully that gave you guys some ammo, some information to be able to say either go to your employer with or at least at the very least to encourage yourself to consider some of these options to the hard task, the drudgery of commuting to work by yourself every single day.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. And if you are listening in your car right now, thank you for listening.
You know, Joel, you don't have to be driving your car to listen to podcasts too. You can be on public transit, right?
Or take a walk in your neighborhood.
Yeah. When you get home. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com. We'll have show notes up there for you.
Yeah. If you like what you hear, let us know. Please review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. It really helps us out and helps more people find out about the show. So cheers, Matt.
Cheers. Best friends out, man.
Best friends out.